Well, at least two people were excited. I said, he's undefeated. You say, well, what's the big deal? He's undefeated. Well, he's in you. Amen. The undefeated one's in you.
Praise God.
The Bible said, no test has overtaken us that such is common to man, but he is faithful, who will not allow us to be tested what we are able, but with all points, he'll give us a way of escape. And the Bible said that he's been tested with everything that we've been tested with, yet he never missed it.
Amen.
Amen. Why? If you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 5, and we'll get going here in a second. Why do people look to other people for their answers? Why do people get on the gossip line for their answers? Why are they seeking out? Listen, the only one in the world that's undefeated is him.
Right.
He knows how to be successful in every single arena. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Mark chapter 5, and we'll look at we'll start in verse 25. This is part two of our faith series. If you weren't here last week, oh, you need to get on live stream and listen to it. We started a new series on faith. And today will be the day I do the most review, but I won't do a ton of review today, but it'll be the most I do out of any of the weeks. But let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that you're going to help me this morning to speak as the oracles of God. Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that I speak words in season this morning. Father, I thank you that I hit bullseyes with the words that I say from you in the hearts of people. And Lord, they'll be sitting there today and I'll say something. And it'll be so pertinent to their own life that they'll wonder, how in the world did he know to say that? And it's just the truth is, Father, I didn't, but you did. And so we thank you, you care for us. And Father, we thank you, we go from glory to glory. We're bettered because of this service. We say our lives are changed from our encounter with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And then Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and you're saying, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Notice a lot of people are trying to get something from God, but it's only a few that ever do. Amen. You notice that? Many people were going after him and grabbing him for something, but guess what? He only knew that one power, the flow only went out of one of them.
Amen.
Amen. His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging, you say, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, your faith, now notice this, has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. So this woman up until this point was miserable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 12 years of sickness, 12 years of shame in her condition. She would have to go out in those times and announce to the world that she was unclean. Because if she bumped into anybody, according to the laws back then, they would have to go into a ceremonial cleansing that wasn't just as easy as hopping in the shower with a bar of zest.
Yeah.
Amen. It was harder than that. She was weak, sick, and then she was broke. So she was in a bad, bad position in her life. But notice, she left here whole and in peace, praise God. And notice what Jesus said, and this is the purpose of the series, to shake people, to wake people up. Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, thank God my power was here. No, he didn't say that. Daughter, God's happy face and que sera, sera, you hit the lottery of God today and God decided to do something for you. No. God had favor, God was, had favoritism on you. No. See, here's the thing. Jesus kept walking. She had to get to him.
That's right. Amen.
He wasn't after her. She was after him. And he said, daughter, your faith made you whole. He said, because of your faith, it made you whole. He said the same thing to blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, and the woman with the daughter that was grievously vexed to the devil in Matthew chapter 15 said the same exact thing. In Mark chapter 9, he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, you're believing here for money. You're believing here for a spouse. You're believing here for a child. You're believing here for a new car. You're believing here. You're here believing for a new house, a new car, whatever, a new job, healing in your body, prosperity, a new job, a promotion, whatever. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Same thing he told that woman. He said, because of you, what you did, remember, a lot of people were grabbing at him, but power only flowed to the one that was in faith.
That's right.
And we saw last week that faith can change your whole world.
Amen.
Can change your whole world if you'll learn to be a faith person. It's the mercy of God that he gave us the power or the force of faith. Oh, my God.
Amen.
We pull up Mark 9 and verse 23. It's one of my top five favorite verses. Along with Proverbs chapter 3 is one of my favorite verses. And Joshua 1 and verse 8. I mean, they're just all my favorite verses. But Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. He said, if you can believe. See, it's one thing to hear me say. It's another thing for you to look at with your eyes. Because I know what you're thinking, some of you. Well, that must not be excluding me because you don't know my situation. All your situation is an all thing. That's all it is. Stop trying to blow your situation, your financial situation up, your physical situation, your job situation, your family situation, your house, whatever situation it is, stop blowing it up so big. He can't be talking about me. That'll never happen to me. All your situation is that's yapping at you and telling you how hard it is and impossible. All it is an all thing. And all things are possible to the one that will believe. The one that will actually get into faith. And learn the principles of faith and act in faith. Jesus said, all things are possible.
Yeah.
You know, if that woman wouldn't have done what she did, if she'd have stayed home, guess what? It would have been 12 years and one day she'd have been sick. And then the next day would have been 12 years and 2 days. And then a year would have went by and it would have been, there's a certain woman with an issue of blood, suffered many things and many physicians for 13 years. Then 14 years. But you know what? She decided to do something different. What? She decided to put faith to the equation.
Amen.
See, God was always there. The power of God is always there. Just like the oil and gas is always under the ground.
Right.
The oil and gas is always there, but until someone hooks a pipe to it, until someone drills a hole and hooks a pipe to it, you don't get that power out of the ground. It's the same with God.
Yeah.
He's the same always in heaven, ready to reign. He said, I am looking to and fro across the whole earth in 2 Chronicles. He said, I'm looking to show myself strong on the behalf of the person that will believe me.
That's right. Amen.
Well, why did Jesus feel power go out? Because she hooked up a pipeline of faith to him. And when you hook up a pipeline of faith to God, the power flows through. By grace are you saved through faith. So God needs your faith, praise the Lord. It didn't matter that Jesus was there. Why wasn't everybody getting healed? Why wasn't everybody getting a miracle that day? Why? Because they weren't hooking up into faith. One lady got it, praise God. You know, people, all the time it's happened in the Bible, and it's happening here this morning. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm just going to say it to try to wake you up out of this. If people didn't realize when they heard from Jesus and heard the word of God, it would change their whole world, and they walked away, and the majority of people didn't receive anything from him.
Right.
Majority of people won't receive from God. They just, just look at them up there shouting and jumping around. No. The words I'm saying to you will change your whole stinking life if you'll do them.
Amen.
But some people just, in one and out the other, off the wall, bounce and hit the ground. I'm just telling you the truth. Better learn these faith principles. People, because let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says faith pleases God. The Bible says that faith gets God to move in your situation. You know what doesn't get God to move? Going to church does not get God to move for you. Being a good person does not get God to move for you. Reading your Bible does not get God to move for you. Having a pretty smile does not make God move for you. Whining and groaning and moaning and complaining does not get God to move for you. There's one thing that gets God moving. It's called faith. Faith will cause God to pass over 1 million people just to get to the one that will believe. You say, I don't believe that. He did it in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
He passed over 2 million to get to two.
Right.
2 million people didn't believe him. Two did, and God passed over all of them and said, ooh, faith.
Yeah.
Ah, guess we need to learn this stuff. Praise the Lord. Because why? Because you're going to have symptoms in your body sometimes. You're going to have financial problems. You're going to have relationship problems. You have problems in your job. You have problems in material things. You're going to need faith. Faith's the only thing that's going to pull you out of those things. Because there's times that the checkbook and the calculator won't add up.
Right.
Oh, I don't have enough money. What am I going to do? Faith.
Yeah.
Oh, the doctor's report says it's impossible and it's incurable. Oh, what am I going to do? Faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Can you tell I'm passionate about faith? I'm a little passionate about faith. We saw that faith pleases God. We saw God needs our faith. We saw faith is the currency of heaven, isn't it?
Yes.
He said, by faith you receive the promises of God. You know, if I go down to the Super Duper after and buy some of those nice donuts they got down there, and I go to pay, and I'm at the counter, and I take those donuts, and I walk out, and they say, "Sir, you didn't pass." So I smiled.
Yeah,
I was nice. I was happy. Well, that's not the currency we take. We take credit cards and cash.
That's right.
People try to go to God. Well, I tugged on his heartstrings. I was good. I was a good person. I go to church. I read my Bible every day. I pray over my meal. I listen to Christian music. I don't swear.
Yeah, come on,
I'm just telling you what people think. Oh, I'm good enough. No, that doesn't get God moving.
That's right.
Heaven, to get the promises of God into your life, heaven requires a certain currency. Just like we require a certain currency down here. The Super Duper requires a certain currency. Heaven requires a certain currency. It's called faith.
Amen.
If you don't know what faith is and how to operate in faith, well, you'll never walk into it. And that's where we're going in part two today. If faith is the currency of heaven, which it is, he said, by faith we overcome. By faith we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many of you know the devil can be stopped in his tracks with faith? That's what Ephesians 6 tells us. He said that we receive the promises of God through faith. That's the currency. Well, if that's what the currency of heaven is, we have to know exactly what it looks like and what it is. If someone came here from another country and they went to buy something, they said, we only take dollar bills here, and they had no idea what our currency looked like, they're going to struggle. They have to find out, what does that thing look like? What is a dollar? They say, okay, I come to this country, I need dollars. What is a dollar? Well, if you've never seen a dollar, you won't know what a dollar is. If you've never shown what a dollar is, you'll never know what a dollar is and what it can do. It's the same with faith. Let me tell you something that will really just make religion mad. Most people that say they're in faith, they're not. They're in hope.
Yeah,
hope and faith are not equal. Most people, when they say, yeah, I'm believing God for my healing, I'm believing God for that situation to turn, I'm believing God for my prosperity, if you really dig deep and get the microscope out, and the magnifying glass, and look on that, what you're going to find is most people are hoping they get their healing. Most people are hoping they get their prosperity. And most people are hoping their situation turns. Hope and faith are two different things.
Right.
And if you don't know exactly what they are, you know, there's certain play money that if you were to show somebody from another country that's ever seen a dollar, you could trick them. Here, go pay with this. You know, here, oh, you need a bunch of money, here you go. And it will have the appearance, and they'll go to the store and they'll, no. And people, they go through life, I don't understand why my healing's not coming. I don't understand why my finances are. I'm in faith. Well, are you in faith? Let's check it out. Let's get the spiritual marker out and rub across that bill and see if it's legit.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to find out what faith is this morning? Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Praise God. I don't know. Here's a couple things I think that I've come to the conclusion on. Number one, people don't like this message as a whole in the body of Christ because it puts responsibility on the person. Listen, we're a nation that has millions of people that just want people to do everything for them. It's true. It's true. Listen, I'm all for helping people. I've been in a position where I need help. But my God, get to a place where you're done getting help and you can start being a help.
Right.
But there's people their whole life, they're just, do this for me, do this for me. And so the faith message rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Why? Because faith puts the responsibility on the believer.
Right.
And then number two, I think religion says that, well, when he's talking about faith, he's taking God out of the equation. He's making it a me gospel. No, I'm telling you that we need, God needs our faith to cooperate. But without God, our faith is nothing. It's like our faith is the pipeline that allows God to flow through it. Well, the oil and gas, you know, you can go and put oil and gas 2-inch pipe in the ground all over the place. But if it's not hooked up into a well that's drilled into the oil or the gas, it doesn't matter that you have lines. You need the power, you need the oil, you need the gas there. Without God, and so I think a lot of times people say, oh, he's making this a me gospel and we don't even need gospel. No, we're not taking God out of the equation. We're saying God's already done what he needs to do, and he's just waiting to someone to hook into him so he can flow through that.
Yeah.
Praise God.
That's good.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. I'd rather have it be on my responsibility than leave it up to somebody else.
Sure.
And leave it up to the devil. Leave it up to, you know, God just hitting the, you know, pulling the slot machine and Mike Anderson's name comes up and then he blesses me. No, I can hook into that slot machine any time I want to. Praise God. So let's find out what the Bible says, because the Bible defines what faith is. Now faith is. So the Bible's going to tell us exactly what it is so we can know, and we can then examine our own lives, and that which you are saying you're in faith for, you can line it up with what the Bible says faith is, and find out, am I really in faith, or am I just hoping and wishing that that thing changes? Because they ain't the same. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith isn't what you're hoping for. Faith is the substance, the reality of your hope. You're hoping for healing. You're hoping for prosperity. You're hoping for that situation to change. But when you get into faith, faith is the substance of that hope. Faith is the reality. Now let me bring it up in the Amplified, Kim Lai, if you wouldn't mind. The Amplified will bring it up even more clear to help you see it better. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation. Now get this. This is what I'm going to preach on in a second. The title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things, now this is important, we do not see. And the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen? Now here at the Bible, we'll leave it up there for a second. It says that faith is the title deed of what we're hoping for. Well, I'm a homeowner. I'm also a vehicle owner. When you have a vehicle, they give you a title deed, don't they? They give you a title. Well, on that title, first of all, the definition of a title deed is this. Listen, a legal deed or document constituting evidence of a right, especially to the ownership of property. So it's a legal document or legal deed that says that that is yours. Well, if I were to bring, I didn't drive my truck here today. We all rode together in her vehicle. But if I would have brought with me, probably should have didn't think of it, but I have a deed at home, a title. And on that title, it says who owns that vehicle. Now, I can bring that to you and tell you, hey, I'm the owner of a whatever, whatever Ford pickup with this many miles. And you might say, well, I don't see it. I don't know if I believe that you are the owner. I say, oh, no, here it is. And you would look at that. You would look at that title deed and say, oh, yeah. If someone that never met me, they would say, oh, yeah, here, there's his ID. His name matches up to that. I've never seen that truck, but that title deed proves it to me that he is the owner of that, right? You could bring your title deed to your house or whatever you own, and I might not have ever seen it, but that thing proves that you're the owner of it. Well, that's what the Bible says our faith is. Our faith is the title deed of the things we're hoping for. Our faith is the evidence of what we're believing for. Now, this is be a two-parter here today. The first part that is so vital for you to understand about being a faith giant and someone that actually is in faith that sets himself up to receive from God is that faith deals with the unseen realm. Yeah. And that's where most people miss it. And most people trip up because they can't see it, they can't touch it, it doesn't look like anything's changing, or there's nothing they can put their senses to. It trips their mind up, it trips their flesh up, and so they're not in true faith because they can't see it. But that's what faith deals with. Proof of the things we do not see. Proof. The conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What? What you can't see. What you can't put your hand on. What in the natural looks like is not even possible. For example, that would be somebody who's got sickness in their body, got a doctor's report to show it, got the test to show it. Yet the word says healing can be yours. You have a choice now what you're going to believe. Now remember, how do you receive the promises of God? Through faith. At some point, you have to step out of the realm of just being completely convinced of what you feel, what you can see. Same with finances. The Bible says he'll meet all your needs and supply all your needs, yet the bills are stacked to the ceiling and the money's barely noticeable. Yet the word says he'll supply our needs and provide for you. Well, how are you going to receive prosperity? Through faith. Well, what is faith? Believing what you can't see. somehow stepping out of the realm of being so convinced that what your checkbook says is so, and that's how it's going to be, and what your bills say is going to be so, and actually getting into faith and believing God. That's where there's a fumble. That's where we have the disconnect with people, is because they can't see it. And let's just face it. Let's be honest. We like to see what's going on. We like to know what's going on. For example, go with me to pull up 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Kim Lai, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So you're going to have to become very comfortable in order to be a faith giant and succeed in your faith and receive the promise that nowhere to be found in the natural. You're going to have to be very comfortable with something that makes us always very uncomfortable. Sure. You're going to have to learn to operate in a realm of uncomfort. You have to learn to operate or be comfortable in a realm of uncomfort. Well, let me give you an example. If during greeting time, when I say let's get up we're out of our seats and it's already in the middle of it. If we cut the lights in here and covered all the different cracks, I mean, it was just pitch black. You couldn't see any lights under the bottom of the door or anything. It's just pitch black and we're all moving around. We're going to all of a sudden become extremely uncomfortable. Because we're not going to know who we're going to run into. We're not going to know if we're going to trip. We're not going to know if we're going to fall. We're not going to know if we're going to bump into somebody. Maybe we're going to bump into a kid and run them over. We're going to become extremely uncomfortable. Why? Our senses are taken away. We don't like that. Our mind hates it and our flesh hates it. Yet God says, that's the realm that's going to cause you to step over into a place that's going to see the natural changed for your better.
Wow, that's good.
You got to become extremely comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And you have to just accept it right off the bat that, okay. Because let's face it, there are a lot of people, they don't get into faith because they can't get past what their checkbook says. They just can't. They can't get past what their past has always said. They've always been poor. Great-grandma was poor. Great-grandpa was poor. Their grandma and grandpa were poor. Mom and dad were poor. You grew up poor. And so therefore, poverty is your flow. And you believe in that because that's all you've ever known. Yet the word says something different. It's the same with things in your body. It's the same with, you know, there's people that just always believe they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. No expectation of any good at all. It's just, when's the next thing going to go wrong? Well, the Bible says we have to expect that God's going to do something good. We have to believe that he's a rewarder.
Yes, amen.
Amen. But you're going to have to do it in uncomfortable. So to succeed in faith, you're going to have to be uncomfortable, or you have to be comfortable by operating by natural blindness. He's calling you to believe in healing when there's no sign of healing.
Right.
In your body, on a doctor's report, symptoms. He's calling you to believe in prosperity when there's no sign of it. Checkbook doesn't say it. Your job doesn't say it. Your bills doesn't say it. Praise God. That's what he's calling you to do. He's calling you to believe in that. So to succeed in faith, you're going to have to be comfortable operating by natural blindness. Go to Numbers 13. Numbers 13 and verse 26. I want to show you this. You've got to get this principle because here's what I'm saying is when you're in that place, that faith trial, what do I mean? You've entered in where you said, I see it, I'm entering in to believe God for my healing. Okay, you're going to find yourself in a place where your body's going to feel like garbage. And you're going to hear things. And you're going to be in a position where that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. You're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to believe in everything I'm seeing and can feel, or am I going to believe what the Word says? Well, if you want that thing to change, you're going to have to get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
You're going to be in it when you're going to say, okay, wow, I see prosperity. Faith is the way to turn that thing. That woman changed her whole life. I'm going to change my whole life. I'm going to do it prosperity. And things are going to break down and You're not going to be able to balance it. You're not going to be able to the budget's not going to have enough, and you're going to lack, and it's going to look like you're struggling. You're going to have to say, okay, what am I going to choose to put my faith in? If you want that thing to change, you're going to have to get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is not to discourage you, because everybody has the opportunity, but the majority of people won't do it. They didn't do it in Numbers, and Jesus did the parable of the sower. He said the majority of people will not do what the Word says to do. Hallelujah. Numbers 13 and verse 26. says that they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. Brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. So these were the spies that went out, if you don't know, just to catch you up. In verse 2 of this chapter, God said, I'm giving you a new land, the promised land. I want you to go out and look at it. Well, they went out and looked at it. And this is what they did. They showed them the fruit, verse 27. They told them and said, we came under the land where you sent us. And surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, so now they're just reporting what they saw. They're reporting what their senses revealed to them. The people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites in the mountain. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of the Jordan. Basically, he's saying, there's already people established in the place that you said was ours. Right. Lord, you said, I have prosperity. I can't pay my bills. Lord, you said, by his stripes I am healed, yet I'm sicker than a dog. Come on, let's see what the Lord says about this. Then Caleb, verse 30, stilled the people before Moses and let us go up and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. So this is what happened now. Here's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with things of the natural versus things you can't see. Well, what can't you see? God told them, this land is yours. In God's eyes, it was as good as done. This land is yours. Well, the natural did not bear that same report. The natural said, no, there's Canaanites, Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites. They're all here. There's walled cities. There's fortresses. There's civilizations. There's cities. And they're already established here. And you're saying it's ours? That's what God said. It's ours. He said, they're stronger than we. We can't have this land. The natural, ladies and gentlemen, this is important. The natural was not telling, or when they reported on it, they were not telling a lie. They didn't go back, and you might say, I don't have enough money. And that might not be a lie. And you might say, I do have this in my body. The doctor said so, and I can see it on a report, and I feel it in my body. That might not be a lie. But look at what God said. When God says something, and the circumstances say something, and regardless of how real the circumstances say they are, when one puts their hope and trust in the circumstances, look at what God calls it. In verse 32, he said, they brought up an evil. Evil. You know what evil is? Evil is the exact opposite of what God is. God wants nothing to do with anything evil. He said they brought up an evil report of the land. What do you mean they brought up an evil report? All they were doing was reporting exactly what they saw. They were saying we don't have the money. They were saying we are sick. That's not what was evil about it. Caleb and Joshua didn't stand up and say, no, you're lying. There was no walled cities. No, you're lying. There was no people in the land. They didn't say that. They said, that's right. There were walled cities. There were people there, but we're well able to overcome them. Amen. Faith is not denying the natural, but faith is not putting faith in the natural, but putting faith into God. And they put faith in the natural. They said, oh, we can't have it. Well, that's the same thing that happens with people. Because they've always been poor, because their checkbook says they're poor, because their pension or social security check says that's all you're getting, in your mind, because it doesn't equal what you need, you say, that's just the way it's going to have to be. No. Faith changes things.
That's right.
It was 12 years for that woman until faith got involved.
That's right.
And changed everything.
Amen.
Doctors had no clue how to help her. Faith changed it.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's the truth. You got to get this in your heart, that faith is the unseen realm. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Because when you're in that place, see, because sometimes we start to doubt ourselves because the sickness can seem so real, the poverty can seem so real, the pressure can seem so real. But understand, that's why faith is needed, because you're going to be in places like that sometimes, and you got to believe God to get out of it.
Amen. Yeah.
John chapter 20. Oh, let's see what verse I want to go to here. John chapter 20. Let's go down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. John 20, verse 24. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, except I shall see in his hands the print of nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe. What's he saying? Unless my senses can grasp it, I'm not going to enter into faith. Isn't that what he said? Unless I can see the money, Pastor Mike, I'm not believing for it. Until I see that healing, well, you might be waiting a long time to see it. Because faith brings it, the unseen realm, belief in the unseen realm. He said, I will not believe, I will not enter into faith until my senses can get involved. Well, that's not faith. Verse 26, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And he said unto Thomas, reach your hand here, Thomas. Reach hither your finger, behold my hands. Reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless. Remember, how do you receive the promises of God? By faith. Well, you want to not receive the promises of God? Take away faith. Thomas was faithless here. Look what Jesus said about someone that's faithless. Verse 28, Thomas answered, said unto my Lord and my God. Jesus told us something very important about faith here, about Christians. He said, Thomas, you've seen me and you believed. He said, blessed. Blessed. You know who the Christians are? The ones that are walking around blessed are the ones that are walking around in faith. Yeah. Amen. The ones when knock, 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 they open the door and there's hell staring them in the face and they enter into faith. Those are the ones that are walking around blessed. Yes. It's just the truth. How do I know? Because I'm a living proof that faith works. I've seen faith turn money. I've seen faith turn sicknesses. I've seen faith turn what was impossible, what people said there was no way. I've seen faith make it happen. Amen. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. Yeah. I've seen it do it over and over again. Hallelujah. He said, blessed are they that don't have to see, but will believe. Blessed are the ones that don't need to see the healing before they believe. Why are they the blessed ones? Because they're the ones that will get the healing. Right. Blessed are they which don't need to see the money first. Why are they the blessed ones? Because they're the ones that will get the money.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, we've been so branded by wrong teaching, religion, and what our past has said, and what our circumstances are saying about our situation, that we've had that branded into us, and we think it's got to always be the way it's always been. 12 years it was always the way it was always been, but then faith changed it. You might be here and you're just hurting in your body. You're hurting in your mind. You're hurting in your finances. Faith is your exit.
Amen.
Out of hurting. Faith is your exit out of poverty, out of sickness, out of disease, out of torment. Faith is the mercy of God that says, here, life can be hard. There's a devil that runs this world, but faith is what'll trump that thing. How to be excited about faith.
Amen.
My God. Mark 11, 24. Look at this now. You better, what am I hammering the point on? That faith is the unseen realm.
That's right.
Faith, if it was seen, you wouldn't need faith.
Amen. That's right. That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
If it was seen, if the money's there, you don't have to believe for the money, it's there. If the healing was there, you wouldn't have to believe for it. It's there. Faith is the unseen realm. Mark 11, 24, he said, therefore I say unto you, I would have to say, agree with Brother Hagin and say that these two verses, 23 and 24, are the most precious and wonderful things that's ever been written about the subject of faith. He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. God says we can receive the desires of our heart by praying and believing. But here's the kicker, and this is where most people stumble, the unseen realm. He said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, notice this now, when you pray. Now, let me ask you this. Most sick people, most poor people desire to not be sick and to not be poor, correct?
Yeah.
At least when I don't feel good, I desire to feel better. When I don't have enough money, I desire to have money.
Right.
Come on, that's normal, right? Well, here's the thing. If I'm broke, and the Lord said, I can believe him for money. Well, the Bible tells me something interesting that we better get this principle down. He said, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, I desire to not be broke. When I pray, okay, I'm going to pray. When I pray, but the Bible says that something has to happen when you pray. When I release my faith to pray to God, or when I release my faith in verse 23 to say, the Bible says for it to work, I have to believe I receive it. When I pray, what's that the big deal of? When I'm praying is when I'm broke. When I'm praying is when I'm sick. He's saying, I want you to believe that you received it before you can see it.
Yeah.
Before it shows up. Before it's in the bank account. Before it's in your body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And that's where most people, they fumble the whole thing. They hear that God wants them prosperous. They hear that God wants them healed. They hear that God has the best life ever for them. They go out of here, they get all excited. They release their faith for it. And when it doesn't show up instantly, they fumble the ball.
Yeah.
Why? It wouldn't matter. A day, 2 weeks, 2 months wouldn't matter if you were convinced of its reality when you released your faith. If you believed it when you if you believed you received it when you prayed it, 2 months when it doesn't show up in the natural, you're not troubled because, oh, I already got it back there.
Yeah,
it's going to manifest anytime. Praise God.
Praise God.
Okay, so how then do we know? Are you ready? So we've seen faith deals with the conviction or the reality of the unseen realm. How then do we know if we are truly in faith? Because again, you might be fooling yourself, say, I'm believing for my healing, and in fact, it might be hope. You might say, I'm believing for my prosperity, but in fact, it might just be hope. I'm believing for that job, I'm believing for that thing that God said I could have in my heart, but in that reality, it might just be hope. Let's find out. Are you ready? Go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Time to get the old spiritual magnifying glasses out and look at our faith projects a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's see. Let's see, because then if you can walk out of here and say, well, he clearly showed me today I'm not in faith. Well, that's why we're doing this series,
amen,
to get you in faith.
Amen.
Do you know how good you have it here?
Yeah. Amen.
Do you know how good you have it here?
Amen. Come on.
You're being taught things that will change your whole life.
Yes. Amen.
My God.
Praise God.
We ought to reverence this place and thank God for this place.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We ought to be so... Okay, yeah, because that just opened a door. And I got to walk through it now. If you're so thrilled about this place, why aren't you bringing people? Why aren't you telling everybody? Your life can be changed on 213 Pine Street. There's a crazy guy down there who lives by faith, and it works out for him. And he'll teach you how to live. Come on. Why are we telling everybody? Why are we inviting people to church? Why are we bringing them and saying, faith's your answer. Faith's your answer. Come on. One thing, when I was out in Colorado and I saw the Rocky Mountains and I was up there 10,000, 14,000 feet with Pastor Tim back when I spent my whole student loan check on that trip. He skipped his finals to go with me. I mean, we're the ones pastoring the family churches. What in the world did you do? Oh, my God, Lord. Oh, anyways, but it sure does. I'll tell you, it keeps me laughing. And I saw those mountains, I saw the peaks and the snow on them, and it's just quiet, you can't hear anything, and you're just in God's creation. All I wanted to do was bring everybody I loved and knew. I wanted them to see what I was seeing. I wanted them to experience what I was experiencing. People walk out of here, Pastor, I've never heard that before, that's blessing me. Then why aren't you telling others? Don't be selfish with this gift that God has given you. Praise the Lord. We want to see this thing grow. We want to see this county change. God's not just going to do it. The pastor's not just going to do it. The people got to be involved. The people got to be hungry enough to walk out of here and actually in their job say, hey, God can change that.
Yes. Amen.
So I'm not good at telling. You can say God can change that. That's not hard to do. You don't have to preach them a whole sermon. You know, there's a church down there in South Dayton that'll tell you the word, teach you about healing and prosperity.
That's right.
Amen. I know that just got up underneath you. Rubbed you the wrong way, but that's good. You need to be rubbed the wrong way. Shake you a little bit, praise God. You know, when a bodybuilder, you know, you get two, you can get into a program, maybe for 4 to 6 weeks doing the same workout. Well, what they'll do is they'll come up and switch your routine after a little bit of time, because what's that do? It shocks the muscle. You know, maybe you're working your biceps a certain way, and then somebody comes and says, no, do it this way. And then you walk and say, oh, I wasn't sore for 4 straight weeks, but now I'm sore again. Why? You got rubbed the wrong way. It turned things a different way, but what it led to was increase.
That's right. Yeah, that's
they don't just do the same workout for their whole life, the same repetitions, the same amount of weight, the same exercises. No, they switch it up. They switch up the weight. They switch up the exercise. Why? It's called shocking the muscle, and it causes the muscle to grow. Well, sometimes we get so comfortable just showing up and sitting there and stuffing our faces. We're spiritually just full, and we don't go out and do anything about it.
Wow, that's good.
Come on. We want to see growth. I got to shake you a little bit.
Yeah.
Rub you the wrong way. Tell you, you need to start telling friends. You need to start telling your family members.
Yes.
What a treasure we have here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you're mad at me, I don't care. I want to see people helped.
Amen.
Someone got you here somehow. Yeah. Somehow you got here. Maybe you just saw it on advertisement or something, but you're here. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So anyways, let's find out. How then do we know? Are you ready to find out how you know if you're in faith?
Amen.
Romans 4 and verse 17. Romans 4:17. This is talking about Abraham. It says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. See, stop worrying about what people are going to say when you invite them. Stop worrying what people are going to think. Let me tell you something. Hell, poverty, sickness, disease, depression, fear, anxiety, and stress are going to rub them the wrong way more than you are by telling them, why don't you come to my church? If they say no, who gives a rip? Can't be told no. I mean, a whole section of the country is struggling with being told no.
Right. Come on. That's good.
Have people never been told no in their life? People are acting like idiots,
Yeah. Burning
things and crashing things and tearing things up because they didn't get their way.
Come on.
Whether and who not.
I'm just telling
you the truth. We don't like not getting our way. And I think that's one of the reasons we don't tell people, because what they might say, they might tell us no. Or well, so what? You got to be a good soul winner, you got to be good at being told no.
Yeah.
Because the majority of the people will not respond. And when you realize that and understand that, you'll go into it knowing, hey, it's just a bonus if they come.
Yeah.
And if you're led by your spirit and you say, God, I want to be a soul winner, guide me to somebody. If you pray that, he'll lead you to people that you'll have fruit with.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people just go out and mass invite people. No, follow the spirit of God. He'll lead you to people that are ready for the harvest, that are looking for help. Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, didn't expect to say that, but I said it anyways.
He said,
even God who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, not just hope, believed in hope, had faith in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now a dead, he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So this is talking about when Abraham was told he was going to have a baby, when he was about 100 and Sarah was 90, they had the child. So are you ready to find out if you are in faith? Number one, it's found in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. How do you know when you're in faith? Number one, when the circumstances become irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
When the circumstances become irrelevant, that's one way to know when you're in faith. Well, how do we know? The Bible said he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider the circumstances. What were the circumstances saying? You're 100. Your wife's 90. Her womb is dead. You guys don't even have a date night anymore. And you want to have a baby? That's what the circumstances are saying.
Yeah.
Let's just be real.
Yeah.
Can we just be real?
Yeah.
And if you are having a date night, they ain't like when you were 25.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's what the circumstances are saying. Abraham said, okay, God said I could have a child. The circumstances are irrelevant. Doesn't matter that I'm 100. Doesn't matter that she's 90. Doesn't matter that it's impossible. Doesn't matter what my friends are saying. Doesn't matter what the mirror's saying. Doesn't matter what my body's saying. Doesn't matter what my mind's saying. All that matters is what God's saying. The circumstances became irrelevant.
Yeah.
You believe in God for money, but yet you're still saying, but my paycheck, the circumstances are still relevant to you.
Yeah.
You're believing God for prosperity. Yeah, but I only get a certain amount. Oh, you're still believing in the circumstances.
Wow.
Oh, I'm believing God for prosperity, but it's always been this way. Still believing in the circumstances. When you're in faith, the circumstances, you won't care.
Right.
It won't matter.
Right.
It won't matter. In fact, it'll actually make you laugh. It'll make you laugh. It will. Oh, that's funny that God says he's going to do that. There's no money. That's great. I can't wait to see how that's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Amen.
Number one, the circumstances become irrelevant. Number two is found in verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong or strengthened in his faith. Here it is, giving glory to God. The one that's truly in faith, the circumstances won't matter. The one that's truly in faith, number two, they'll find themselves in praise. What do I mean? Thank you, Lord, the healing's coming. Praise God. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm rich. When there's no money, when there's no healing to be found. Abraham was walking around saying, I'm a dad. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Glory to to God, you're faithful, Lord. And his neighbors were saying, you're 100. And he said, I don't care what you say. And his body was saying, what are you talking about, you old fool? And he said, I don't care. God said it. Praise God. That's faith. When you enter into praise, you know you're in faith. Praise and thanksgiving that what he said is true no matter what the circumstances are saying. And number three, and this will kind of lead us into next week of the one thing that's paired with faith that causes faith to grow. Number three, all that matters when you're in faith is the word that was spoken. Circumstances are relevant. You enter into praise. It says this, and being, verse 21, fully persuaded what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He's saying, I don't care what my body says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care anything. All I care about is what was said to me. I don't know how it's going to work, but all I care about. So I've done this before. I'm going to do it again because it's on my heart. The old water bottle test, right? Right now, everybody, think of in your life what you're believing God for. What do you think I am? Like, what, 6'10 right now? Is this what it would be like? Seriously, I'd be in the NBA. I know it. 6'10, this would be awesome. Praise the Lord. But anyways, think about what you're believing God for, right? You need healing. You need a house. You need a baby. You need a spouse. You need finances. You need a new job. You need a car. Whatever. You need the situation to turn. This person's doing this to you. At work, this is happening. You need something to turn. And we know the faith's the answer. And so you might say, I'm in faith. I believe. Well, let's find out if you really are in faith. Now, most of you know what I'm going to do, but if you don't, then you'll see. But anyways, if I were to say to the whole congregation here, I'm going to hold my hand out, and I'm going to release this bottle of water. How many of you would say, I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm fully persuaded, I'm convinced that when Pastor Mike opens his hand, that bottle's going to hit the ground. How many of you, by show of hands, would say, if I just stand here, I'm not going to try to catch it, I'm going to go like this, open my hand. How many of you would say, without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, that bottle's hitting the ground by show of hands? If you, all our hands are up, right? If you're not, you're probably just shy, and or you just don't like me and want to be difficult. I don't know if you didn't, if anybody did, but anyways. He's being a troublemaker today back there, Debbie. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's see. So you said, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. It's going to hit the ground. Wow, you're right, right? You're right. Okay, so now let's think about it again. That what you're believing for, healing, prosperity, that situation to turn, the job, a new car, a new house, a spouse, a baby, whatever. Are you as convinced that that thing is going to show up in your life? Are you as convinced as you were? You had no doubt that bottle was going to hit the ground. You had no doubt at all. You knew it without a shadow of a doubt. Are you as convinced the money's coming? Are you as convinced the baby's coming? Are you as convinced the spouse is coming? Are you as convinced the healing's coming? Are you as convinced the car's coming? The job's coming? The house is coming? The situation's going to turn? If you're not as convinced, what is this? That's called full belief. You had full belief in that. You were convinced. You had no doubt. That was faith. You had faith that the bottle would hit the ground. Do you have faith? Because what is faith? Fully persuaded, conviction of what you can't see, a title deed. I can have a title deed and show you. I have a truck at home. I have a house at home. I can't see it. Doesn't matter. I got the deed. Are you as convinced? If you're not as convinced as the bottle hitting the ground, then your faith needs work. And that's what we're going to teach you in this series. Because let's be honest, there's people that might have just realized saying, you leave that there. Actually, I want that. Thank you so much. And there's people that have realized now, you know what, I'm not as sure that healing's coming. I sure hope it was, but if I'm to be honest with myself, I'm not convinced that I'm convinced that it's gonna. Well, the only way it's gonna manifest in the natural is by faith. What's faith? Believing that thing was gonna hit the ground. What we just saw was faith and demonstration. We saw belief. We saw pure, and the Bible says Abraham became fully persuaded. He wasn't fully persuaded up to that point. Remember, they laughed at God? Remember, he said, how can this be? And he went out and did it Ishmael's way and did it wrong. He wasn't convinced, but when he got convinced, the Bible said he was fully persuaded, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Didn't care what the natural said. He said, God said, I'm having a baby. I'm having a baby no matter what. He was, in his eyes, he was as good as, he was a dad. He was a dad with no baby there. So you have to find out that for yourself. But maybe we peeled back something today that showed you, okay, I see. I'm not in faith. Don't condemn yourself. Just say, I'm going to learn what faith is, and I'm going to operate in it, and I'm going to see it come to pass. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, we honor you and bless you. We thank you for your mercy, for your goodness, and for your love and your kindness. Father, you are so good to us. Let's thank him right now because he helped us this morning. There was utterance, and he told us what we needed to hear today. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. Man, Lord, it's funny, you know, people in my life, you could close your eyes and bow your heads. They'll call me radical. They'll call me extreme. But it's interesting, healing always comes. The money always comes. When anything's going wrong in the people that look to me as being that way, when they have something wrong, you know who the first person they call is? Me. Why? Because I have the answer. I have faith. God's given us the answer. It's because of him. It's not because of me. I just do what God has said to do. But faith is your avenue, ladies and gentlemen, that can change your whole world if you'll learn it. If you'll enter into it, there's an opportunity for things to be different. That which eluded that woman for 12 years became possible with faith. That which eluded blind Bartimaeus for years became possible by faith. That which eluded that woman, that daughter was grievously vexed to the devil for so long, the torment was made possible by faith. So, Father, we thank you right now that you showed us what faith is. So now we know what it is. And as we go forward, Father, I thank you we're going to learn how to get it, how to increase it, how to use it, Father, and how to walk into all the promises that you have for us. Because you said in your word, they come through faith. So we thank you for it. Father, we bless you this morning. If I could ask a favor of everybody, if you'd bow your heads, close your eyes, please don't look around out of respect for other people. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, the answer is heaven. And you say, how do you know that? Well, God said in his word that heaven's a possibility for me, and then he told me how to get there. And funny, he didn't mention church attendance as how to get there. He didn't mention my good deeds outweighing my bad deeds. He didn't mention, you know, being generous and giving money. He just said, there's just two qualifications for you to get to heaven. He didn't say you have to jump through religious hoops or do religious backflips or, you know, have been confirmed or been baptized. No. None of that religious stuff. He said the way that we get heaven to become a reality is two ways. He said, number one, believing in my son. If you believe that Jesus was real, that means you believe he died on the cross, he rose again. He said, that's one, that's half of it. He said, then the other way that you can get heaven, the other way that you have to qualify, you have to check off these two boxes. That's one, believing in Jesus. Number two is receiving Jesus into your heart. See, because the devil believes in Jesus, but the devil's never received Jesus and never will. So if you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Well, I just told you an easy way to get there. That's what the Bible said. If you believe in Jesus and you ask him into your heart, now here's the good thing that you might be interested in hearing. It doesn't matter how much church you've gone to, how little church you've gone to, how many bad things you've done. It doesn't matter. You call on the name of the Lord, you're saved, his word says. You don't have to become a member of this church. And to receive Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you come to the front. I won't have you stand up. And I won't have you say anything on your own. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. But if you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus, and I do want to invite him into my heart. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive him this morning, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that's never done that before? Just lift your hand so I can see it real high. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else that wants to receive him? I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are shy. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive the Lord this morning before we close? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. See, when people realize, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, when people realize that God's not religious, that God's not, beating you over the head and making you jump through all religious hoops. He's just so loving and merciful and so kind. He made it simple. Why? Because the simplicity shows his love. We've had three hands raised. Is there anybody else before we close? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I never rushed this because I was that person that would have had a hard time raising my hand in church. But I promise you, we're not going to embarrass you. Anybody else? We've had four hands. People want to receive the Lord before service ends here this morning. Oh, Father, I thank you for those hands. And Father, I promised I wouldn't embarrass and I won't. But if you raised your hand, there's one thing left to do. You believe in him, but the Bible says you have to receive him. You have to invite him in. He's not the SWAT team. He doesn't bust down the door of your heart to get in. He wants an invite. He wants you to open the door for him. Well, the Bible says the way we do that is by confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And if you raised your hand, pray this prayer after me. But the whole church will pray with you, so you won't be standing on your own or be singled out here. But we're going to pray a prayer. I'll lead you in what to say. You just mean it with your heart. Just believe God with all your heart. When you pray it, and we're going to invite him into our heart right now. Everybody, including the people that raised their hand, and if you're listening by live stream and you want to hop in on this prayer, hop in with us as well. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe
that
you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, before you rush out of here, look up here real quick. You probably say, I'm tired of looking at you. Well, just a little bit more. For those of you that raised your hand, heaven is yours now. Praise God. He doesn't say anything in the Bible about church attendance and going to heaven or, you know, some of the crazy religious things that maybe we've been taught growing up. But one thing he does talk about is for your life to look different, for your life to look blessed, you need a pastor. He, when you come into his family, he likens you to sheep, and sheep need a shepherd. So I encourage you, it does not have to be at this church, but it does need to be a church where they're teaching and preaching the Bible, because the Bible is food for our spirits to grow, to learn all that God has for us. Because if you don't know what God has for you, you'll never have faith for it. You can't have faith without knowledge. Knowledge births faith. Praise God. So I encourage you, if you raise your hand, you're welcome to plant here. We'd love to have you. I'd pastor you and care for you, pray for you, preach the word to you, feed you the word. But if it's not here, make sure it's somewhere that they're preaching and teaching the Bible. Plant yourself there. What does that mean? Be faithful to be there when the doors are open. The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish. So plant somewhere where they're teaching and preaching the word. Praise God. Walk into some things you never thought you could walk into. That's what God offers us. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you one last time. We honor and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget there's goodies over in the old sanctuary. We have the nursery meeting right after. So if everybody that's not in nursery could file out of here, that would be a blessing. Go avail yourself to the stuff over in the old sanctuary. We'll see you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.
Thank you for this. Thank you for